In another high-profile trial, jury selection begins tomorrow for former WorldCom CEO Bernie Ebbers. He is charged with fraud and conspiracy. Prosecutors say Bernie Ebbers and his chief financial officer, Scott Sullivan, manipulated WorldCom's books to keep its stock price from falling. NPR's Jim Zaroli reports.
In the 1990s, WorldCom was leapfrogging into the ranks of the country's biggest telecommunications companies. It did so through a series of acquisitions, each bigger and more audacious than the one that preceded it. During that time, Bernie Ebbers was the company's driving force.
What we found is Mr. Ebbers was a dominant chief executive officer of the company.
Michael Missel managed a team of lawyers appointed by the bankruptcy court to look into what happened at WorldCom.
He really determined the growth of the company, its agenda, dominated the board of directors, and pushed the company to the course that he really wanted it to go.
Ebbers was also WorldCom's public face, its head cheerleader. In January 2000, after the company's merger with MCI, Ebbers appeared at the National Press Club in Washington. Even the moderator that day got swept up in the enthusiasm as Ebbers boasted about WorldCom's stock price.
If you had invested $100 in MCI WorldCom, how much would that $100 be worth today? That $100 invested in MCI WorldCom in 1989 would be worth $7,240 today.
How many people in the room are kicking themselves?
But just 2.5 years later, WorldCom had collapsed in what's now seen as the biggest corporate accounting scandal of all time. What happened, prosecutors say, is that the company's revenues began to fall short of Wall Street's expectations. Desperate to keep WorldCom's stock price aloft, they say, Ebbers and CFO Scott Sullivan started cooking the company's books. Michael Perino teaches securities law at St. John's University.
What happened was that WorldCom essentially started moving stuff from expenses into other accounts for the sole purpose of pumping up the revenue numbers. And we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in expense items on a quarterly basis.
Ebbers' lawyer did not return a phone call seeking comment, but in court papers, Ebbers, a former wrestling coach, has maintained that he didn't fully comprehend what was happening and relied for advice upon CFO Sullivan and WorldCom's auditors at Arthur Andersen. It's a claim that WorldCom investors like Jim Lowe, who lost $12,000 in the company, have a hard time swallowing.
CEO knows the bottom line. They don't just live in an ivory tower. There are documents put before him every day to let him know what's happening with the company. He came to work every day. He didn't just walk the halls and visit with people.
If prosecutors are going to win a conviction, they'll have to prove that Ebbers understood what was happening and intended to manipulate the books. One difficulty they'll face is that Ebbers was notoriously reluctant to put anything down in writing. That means the case will depend heavily on what Ebbers said in private conversations with people. Several WorldCom executives are expected to testify for the prosecution. Michael Perino of St. John's University Law School says CFO Scott Sullivan, who has pleaded guilty, is likely to be the government's chief witness against Ebbers.
The case is likely to stand or fall on his testimony because he's the only one who can link Ebbers to the fraud.
Some hint of what Sullivan will testify about can be found in the indictment. It says Sullivan urged Ebbers to issue an earnings warning, and Ebbers refused. It also says the financial manipulations engineered by Sullivan were carried out with Ebbers' approval and consent. For Ebbers to avoid a conviction, he needs to convince the jury that's not true, and that he was in the dark about what was taking place at a company prosecutors say he dominated. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.